It is a curious business here that you are talking, your party is talking quite openly about the likelihood and indeed the way that Nicola Sturgeon talks, the hope that there will be some minority Labour government with whom you could have an arrangement short of a formal coalition. And yet you're tearing each other to bits on the election trail in Scotland. Explain that to people.
What's important is that we have a policy agenda in the United Kingdom that reflects the priorities that people vote for. And the priorities that we're interested in, the top priority for the SNP in this election campaign is to bring to an end austerity. And we think austerity has done enormous harm to individuals within Scotland, and we want to use our voting strength in the House of Commons after the election to secure an end to austerity.
Yeah, but as far as Scottish voters are concerned, one of the things you're proposing is full fiscal autonomy, which the IFS say would produce a black hole in Scottish finances of more than £7 billion, which would be the equivalent across the UK of something like £80 billion, just to put it in context. And that would have to be paid for by extra borrowing or by cutting services. And at the same time, you're saying an end to austerity. And austerity, full fiscal autonomy in Scotland would produce more austerity in Scotland.
Well, fiscal autonomy would take some considerable time to deliver in Scotland.
You'd wait and everything would be all right.
Well, but what I'm saying
just
is...
Just like the oil price.
Well, but if you hear out my answer, James, what fiscal autonomy gives us is the ability to use economic powers to improve the economic performance of our country.
But you start and off with a black hole of £7.5 billion.
We've demonstrated since 1999 and under devolved Scotland that we can improve the economic performance of our country. Our unemployment used to be persistently higher than the rest of the UK and our unemployment lower. Our productivity used to be lower. It's now off a par with the UK. So we can, with the exercise of devolved responsibilities, improve economic performance. But the sharp point for this election is the fact that we have an opportunity to bring austerity to an end, and that will be the top priority of SNP MPs to ensure that we make progress on that question.
OK, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but let's talk about defence briefly, because it's clearly on people's minds, wherever they stand on this argument. You said that you wouldn't be willing to vote for expenditure on the Trident missile programme. We're not just talking about renewal, but we're talking about maintenance. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Right. You will try to block spending on that. Now, if it came to it, and we're all talking in hypotheses at this point, because that's what elections are about. If it came to it, would you rather see a second election than save a government that was spending money on maintenance of the Trident programme?
See, this is where I think people haven't caught up with what the last Parliament passed in legislation with the Fixed Parliament Act.
That doesn't mean a government can't fall.
Well, the Fixed Parliament Act, I think, gives very clear circumstances whereby a government falls. And a government does not fall on the basis of budget decisions or on legislative decisions. And I went through 4 years in a minority government in Scotland where we did not command a majority in Parliament.
But look,
it was a fixed-term Parliament, and it enabled us to govern effectively and competently, much so that we were returned with an overall majority.
Yeah, but hang on.
Because people judged us to be a competent government. So people in the UK, metropolitan assessment of all of these questions, have to understand the significance of the Fixed-Term Parliament Act.
The Fixed-Term Parliament Act, sorry, we've got to get this straight. The Fixed-Term Parliament Act does not prevent the fall of a government. It introduces all kinds of what you might call cooling off periods. There's the 14 days, there's the business of the number of MPs who'd have to vote. But if a government cannot sustain a majority in Parliament, it still falls. There's no law that says you can't have an election before another 5 years. And people shouldn't be given that impression, which I think you gave a moment ago. If a government cannot survive in the House of Commons on its key decisions and on a Queen's speech and a votes of confidence, it still in the end falls. And it comes back to my question to you. On defence, would you be willing to bring down a government rather than to support the maintenance of spending on the independent nuclear deterrent? Leave aside renewal.
Well, what we want to do is to make sure, first and foremost...
I know what you want to do. Would you push a second election if it came to it?
Well, first and foremost, we want to make sure that conventional defence forces are properly and effectively funded, and we will vote to make sure that that is the case in all circumstances, because currently the United Kingdom is trying to sustain conventional forces and spend £100 billion on an independent nuclear deterrent, which it frankly cannot afford.
We understand your position against it. What I'm asking is, would you be willing to force a second election on that rather than compromise on the policy?
But I think that issue is addressed by the point I've made
you're
to you.
You're really
about
avoiding the question again
not,
and again
I'm
and
not.
Again.
I'm simply
well,
making the point. I'm simply making the point to James that the fixed-term Parliament puts a responsibility on every political party to act constructively in the Westminster environment, and that is precisely what the Scottish National Party will do to advance the values and the interests and the concerns that we want to take to the heart of the post-election environment.
John Swinney, Deputy First Minister of Scotland, thank you.